Welcome back, Monday, October 2nd, 1610 Football Podcast. Little reprieve from podcasting. I had a very busy weekend with my girls, but I am ready to recap all of these games. Let's dive straight into the action. I'm going to look at some of my notes. First one we're going to look at, first game, Notre Dame 21, Duke 14. This game was wild. We got to hit these games fast, so I'm going to try to touch on every game. Riley Leonard got hurt pretty much on the final play. Sick cover by Notre Dame, minus 5.5. They were down 14-13 on the final drive and had a 4th-and-16 conversion on a run, and then they busted one up the middle for 30 yards to the house to win it by 7 with a 2-point conversion on top of it. So sick cover for the minus 5.5. If you had Duke, I feel bad for you. Think you got to sell your Duke stock, but don't sell it too hard. Elko's a great coach. I'm sure they've got a backup that's ready to go. They've got a good defense, experienced team overall. But, yeah, this is huge dampers on the season for the Duke Blue Devils. Next game, Clemson 31, Syracuse 14. Syracuse is just down too many weapons at this point. Rondae Gadsden, who is either their number one wide receiver or clearly their number one tight end. He's a big, tall pass catcher. He's been out. Trevor Payne is out. Isaiah Jones is out. That represents three of the top five wide receivers that I had listed for the Orange at the start of the season. I expect their offense to struggle. They do have Rocky Long commandeering the defense. So, unders for Syracuse games look good from here on out. And, oh, don't forget that we did something with that under. Next, we've got Virginia 24, Boston College 27. Poor Virginia. They led 21-7 in first half. They completed a 39-yard touchdown pass from Tony Musket to Malachi Fields at zeros on the clock for the first half. 4 BC turnovers, 1 UVA turnover, and somehow Virginia still loses by 3. They may not get one in the conference if they lose a game like that. Poor, poor Virginia Cavaliers are looking for an abominable season. Next game, perhaps the shocker of all the ACC games for the day. Bowling Green out of the MAC, 38, Georgia Tech 27. Crushing defeat for the Yellow Jackets after a pretty surprisingly decent start, taking Louisville to the wire. So Bowling Green now has a 2022 win over Marshall the week after Marshall beat Notre Dame. They also won at Toledo, and they've got a 2021 win at Minnesota. So now you're talking a Georgia Tech win, Marshall at Toledo, Minnesota in just 3 years. Very nice stuff from Bowling Green. Surprising stuff for a team that's usually pretty awful. This game was 14-0 Georgia Tech, and then we saw 38 unanswered from the Falcons. Incredible win for them, and just crushing defeat for Brent Key and the Jackets. Moving on, Pittsburgh 21, Virginia Tech 38. Pitt had only 9 first downs for the game, 38 yards rushing, 1.6 yards per carry. Yuck! We got UAB 23, Tulane 35. Moving on to American Conference action. Pretty even game, actually. Tulane won by 12, but they scored right at the end. And also, the difference in the game was that UAB was 3-for-3 on field goals. So they took 3 kicking opportunities, and Tulane was 0-1, mostly going for it. So just demonstrates the value of going for it. Kicking is usually for losers in this sport. And we see that here, UAB 23, Tulane 35. Next, South Florida 44, Navy 30. My podcast history will tell you that I was the very first person on the Byron Brown bandwagon. And, man, it's working for he and Alex Golesh. They win this one at Navy with 3 turnovers to Navy's 1. But the difference in this game was the penalty flags. USF, 1 penalty for 12 yards for the whole game. Navy, 8-for-70. So South Florida Bulls, surprising most people, not me. I was a big fan of Alex Golesh, and I thought that they had a chance to surprise. Boise State 32, Memphis 35. This was 17-0 Boise, and then 28-17 Memphis. So we're talking huge runs, swings both ways. Difference in the game, as Bud Elliott on the Cover 3 podcast alluded to, was an 80-yard blocked field goal returned for a touchdown by Jeffrey Canton Arku, the linebacker for Memphis. So you're talking about either a, you know, 7 or 10 point swing on one play. So that was the difference in that one. Next, East Carolina 17, Rice 24. ECU probably outplayed Rice in this one, but they were only 2 for 6 on fourth down. So they did the correct thing, generally speaking, going for it on their fourth down opportunities, but they just did not cash in at all on them. 2 for 6 is abysmal rate of conversion on short yardage fourth downs. Abilene Christian 31 out of the FCS, North Texas 45. Only thing I'll say here is that Chandler Rogers had a nice game for the Mean Green. They are 2-0 since he took over the starting gig, which is kind of odd because, I mean, me and almost everyone else thought Chandler Rogers, the starting quarterback for ULM, why would you transfer to North Texas if you're not going to be the starter as a grad transfer? They started off with Stone Earl. Things went really bad. They switched to Chandler Rogers. They look good now. So we'll see if Rogers can keep the momentum going for the Mean Green. Then we have Charlotte 16, SMU 34. This game was more even than the score represented. Charlotte actually played pretty well, but SMU did win by a lot on the scoreboard in the final there. Jalen Knighton had like a 95-yard touchdown run to kind of turn the tide. This goes to this, excuse me. Let's go to some Big 12 action. Kansas 14, Texas 40. Jalen Daniels did not play this game. Jason Bean was the starter. He's a great backup, but you're not going to win at Texas with Jason Bean when Texas is just clicking on multiple cylinders. So Texas pulled away in that one. Iowa State 20, Oklahoma 50. Billy Bowman had an interception return touchdown to start off the scoring. Oklahoma also blocked a punt for a safety. So 30-point win over Iowa State. My goodness. Oklahoma and Texas Red River shootout next week. That's going to be great. Houston 28, Texas Tech 49. This one was very close for a long time. Texas Tech pulled away on the merits of two special teams plays. One was a Dre McCray 100-yard kickoff return touchdown. The other was a Loic Fongi blocked punt return touchdown. So two special teams touchdowns made the difference in a 21-point game. Then we come to, man, I mean, possibly the game of the day. Baylor 36, UCF 35. UCF led 35-7 late third quarter. They end up losing, giving up the final, 29 points? And they missed a 59-yard field goal as time expired. But that's a crushing, crushing loss for the Golden Knights. Blake Shapen had returned for the game. But Aranda saves his job temporarily. Malzahn takes a crushing defeat. You just can't lose that game if you're UCF, even without John Rhys Plumlee. Last Big 12 game we'll look at, West Virginia 24, Country Road, Take Me Home, TCU 21. Difference here, Griffin Kell, the field goal kicker, place kicker for the Horned Frogs, was 0 for 3. Two of them were blocked. They were all long kicks, long high 40s and 50-yard kicks, two blocked. West Virginia escapes 24-21. In a wild win, and West Virginia, the Mountaineers, I believe, are like 4-1 now. Let's turn our attention to Utah State 34, UConn 33. Wild game. UConn Huskies led 17-0, but Utah State stormed back, and then with the lead 34-27, UConn scored what was seemingly the game-tying touchdown with 40 seconds left, but the pat was blocked, allowing the Aggies to escape 34-33. Arkansas State 52, Massachusetts 28. Jalen Rayner, is he the real deal? This freshman quarterback that they have put in there for Arkansas State, the Red Wolves, he has been wild the last 2 weeks. torched Southern Miss, torched Massachusetts. He was 20 for 25 for 383 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no picks. Has Butch Jones found something here? We'll see. I think next week will tell us for sure. They go at Troy, so they're going to be facing a very good defensive coaching staff and defensive unit. We'll see if Jalen Rayner can keep it going for 3 straight weeks for the Red Wolves. Buffalo 13, Akron 10. That is a final in overtime. Gross. We got Eastern Michigan 23, Central Michigan 26. Is the Burt Emanuel experiment officially over? The Wildcat quarterback? I think so. Jace Bauer has taken pretty much all the passes in the last 3 weeks. Only one attempt for Burt Emanuel. I still remember when he had 293 yards rushing in one game against Buffalo last year, but I think they're going with Jace Bauer now. Miami of Ohio, 23. Kent State, 3. Brett Gabbert, only 11 for 23, 216 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. But they did get the easy win over Kent State. 4-1, only loss at Miami, Florida. Interesting. Red Hawks might have something going there. Ball State 24, Western Michigan 42. Western Michigan a lot of people did not expect them to win this game. I didn't really have a take on it, but Western Michigan 10 tackles for loss versus Ball State's 2. That's the difference. Northern Illinois 33, Toledo 35. These teams combined for 4 of 20 on third down, so no efficiency, but explosive plays abounded, allowing for all the points to come through. Toledo Rockets escape by 2 at home over the Huskies. Nevada 9, Fresno State 27. This was 27-0 mid-fourth quarter, so don't let the score fool you. Fresno State was in command the whole way on this one. And Fresno State now has 14 straight wins, which I believe is second in the nation only to Georgia. Very impressive stuff from Fresno State. We'll see what they got going on in the coming weeks in the Mountain West. Hawaii 20, UNLV 44. Barry Odom, man. This was a team I had preseason over the win total. Love it. Love to see it. They're really doing good stuff. They're 4-1. Hawaii was 1 of 11 on third down. They only had 46 yards rushing, 1.8 yards per carry, 2 turnovers. UNLV, on the other hand, 307 yards rushing, 6.5 yards per carry. They are really getting it done, and we'll see if them or Fresno State or Air Force is going to come out of this Mountain West Conference at the end of the day. Wyoming's still in it, too. Wyoming's 4-1, only lost to Texas. New Mexico 26, Wyoming 35. Now, this was kind of strange. Only thing I noticed in this game was Wyoming was up 32-26. So you got a 6-point lead, tight game. They did have possession late, and they kicked a 38-yard field goal with 6 seconds left, according to ESPN and the game log and so forth, which, you know, is not always right, but it's usually pretty good. If they kicked a field goal in that situation, I'm really confused, because that would mean they would have been on the 21-yard line of their opponent with only 6 seconds left, giving them a chance to block it and return it for a touchdown. Seems like even if it was fourth down there, you just get in shotgun, you roll out, and then you throw like a high-arcing pass into the end zone to run out the clock. Strange thing there, but it didn't cost them, but could have. Wyoming 35, New Mexico 26. Utah Tech 20, Colorado State 41. Braden Fowler Nicolosi had big numbers, but you have to be a little alarmed with the lack of care of taking care of the ball here. He was 26 of 32 for 462 yards, 4 touchdowns, but 2 picks against Utah Tech. Tony Horton, his best receiver, one of the best receivers in the Mountain West Conference, 10 receptions, 227 yards, and 3 tutties. San Diego State 10, Air Force 49. So you don't see a game between these two with a 39-point margin. You just don't see that. So one of these teams is either far better than it normally is, which the contender would be Air Force, or one of these teams is far worse than it usually is. Contender would be San Diego State. It could be a little bit of both, but the norm is not met here. Is the main thing we draw from this is that one of those teams is deviating from what it normally is. The margin of victory in this game hasn't even been half that since 2008. These teams usually play very physical, very close, very hard-fought matchups, and a 39-point margin, we haven't seen even half that since 2008 in that series. Washington 31, Arizona 24. Michael Penix, zero touchdowns. Washington did not show up for this one. They had 12 penalties for 125 yards and only won by seven at Arizona. So not impressive with performance by the Huskies there. USC 48, Colorado 41. So this ended up being close, but it was a lot of late stuff from Colorado. USC only faced 9 third downs the whole game. And then Colorado may have a new receiver emerging in Omarion Miller, who is a freshman. He had no catches up to this point in the season, but against USC, 7 catches for a 196 and a touchdown. He is a highly rated recruit, so definitely potential there. He's realizing some of that. And again, like I said, no catches prior to this game. So with Travis Hunter being out, I think Weaver did play and Jimmy Horn did play, but one of them is banged up, allowing Miller to really shine against USC. Oregon 42, Stanford 6. Bo Nix 32 pass attempts. Ty Thompson 1. And for the year, he's at like 17, 8 of those against Portland State. So again, we kind of have to ask our question, with Oregon blowing everyone out, why is Ty Thompson not getting snaps? Does this mean that Austin Novosad is going to be the guy once Bo Nix is gone? I kind of think so. Ty Thompson just not even getting work, and like Oregon is not in close games. They had one close game against Texas Tech, and they have routed everyone else, and Thompson is not even getting any run throwing the ball. Arizona State 21, California 24. Arizona State has 7 guys out for the season. They have 4 more questionable. They're so banged up. You got to give Kenny Dillingham some credit for really fighting, continuing to fight the good fight with this mashup squad. I mean, they should be out on their feet like Boston College last year, but they do continue to fight and make these games competitive. USC the week prior, California this week, they lost them both, but they're really, really fighting. I think eventually the wheels fall off. We'll have to find that moment and then fade them the rest of the way. But right now, they're just hanging on. Georgia 27, Auburn 20. UGA was 8 of 13 on third down. Auburn only 2 of 12 and 1 of 3 on fourth down. So all of the key plays, I shouldn't say all, but most of the key plays went Georgia's way in a tight game on the Plains. Brock Bowers stepped up when it really mattered. 8 receptions for 157 yards and a touchdown. Alabama 40, Mississippi State 17. Alabama put the game away right before the half. They went touchdown, interception, touchdown. 3 turnovers for Mississippi State, for none for Alabama. So allowed the Tide to cruise. LSU 49, Ole Miss 55. This was just the video game matchup for the weekend. 104 total points, 1,343 yards, 400-yard receivers, almost 400-yard rushers. There were 2 90-ish yard rushers and 2 other 100-yard rushers. Just ridiculous stuff. I mean, I really don't want to belittle. I don't want to, like, denigrate the win for Ole Miss, because it was a very big win for the Rebels and Lane Kiffin. But when I see games like that, I just think they're silly. I think that there has to be a modicum of defense, a modicum of resistance. It's just embarrassing when games get that loose and guys running that free. But Ole Miss gets it done. LSU now with 2 losses. I mean, we'll see. Can they dig in and keep fighting? The secondary is just abysmal. So we'll see if their season is effectively over with this one or if they fight back. South Carolina 20, Tennessee 41. Really what I took away from this was a poor showing from the quarterback. Spencer Rattler and Milton for Tennessee, they didn't really show out. Tennessee got their revenge from last year in a big way, but the quarterbacks were pretty bad. Florida 14, Kentucky 33. Obviously, you got to talk about Ray Davis here. 26 carries for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had another receiving touchdown. Kentucky just ran the ball on Florida. I mean, Leary was 9 for 19 for 69 yards, a touchdown, no picks, and they won by 19. They won going away. Mertz was pretty good, honestly. He vindicated himself, 25 of 30 for 244, 2 touchdowns and a pick. But, man, the difference was that Florida could not run the ball. Kentucky could. We got Missouri, 38, Vanderbilt, 21. Brady Cook was really slinging it, 33 of 41, 395 yards, 4 tutties, no picks. And, obviously, Luther Burden III. I'm a third myself, so I really appreciate this guy. 11 receptions, 140 yards, 2 tutties. He is possibly the best receiver in the SEC. And Missouri is 5-0. Texas A&M 34, Arkansas 22. Had to sweat this one a little bit as my A&M minus 6, I think it was. They should have won by in the teens or 20s. They could have easily blown this game open. Held Arkansas to 10 first downs, 174 total yards, and 15 tackles for loss. Finally, that Texas A&M defensive front is showing up. Petrino's running the offense. I do think we've got a dark horse SEC West contender here. Louisiana 24, Minnesota 35. Louisiana was 6.6 yards per carry. Why only 27 rushing attempts? Like, they could have made this game a lot scarier for the Gophers, but Gophers win it by 11. South Alabama 23, James Madison 31. South Alabama 24 rushes for 27 yards. They became completely one-dimensional. Carter Bradley had to throw the ball 50 times. The Dukes turned USA into a pass-only offense, and without Devin Voisin and only Colin Lacey, as far as wide receivers go, that did not work so well for the Jaguars. Voicing out for the year with a knee injury. Dukes win it by 8. Old Dominion 35, Marshall 41. Kadarius Callaway, running back for Old Dominion, had 11 carries for 236 yards and 3 touchdowns of 70, 69, and 75 yards. How do you only give the guy the ball 11 times? I mean, come on. Marshall had 30 first downs to 11 for Old Dominion, but the yardage was almost exactly equal. Marshall had 2 times the time of possession, so this was a classic example of explosiveness against efficiency. Efficiency did win for the home team, 41-35. Coastal Carolina, 28. Georgia Southern, 38. Grayson McCall had 8 interceptions his first 3 years as a starter for the Chanticleers. He had 4 interceptions in this game. Davis Brin, 34-56, 322 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Brin played the clean game. McCall played the sloppy one, and the Eagles won by 10. Troy, 28, Georgia State, 7. Troy D, frustrated, shut down Darren Granger. They get Arkansas State and Jalen Rayner next week. Texas State 50, Southern Miss 36. Texas State led 42-16 in this one. They gave up 20 points in 6 minutes and 15 seconds. But man, USM Golden Eagles gave up 44 to Arkansas State and 50 to Texas State in back-to-back weeks. Their defense has just utterly cratered, and disappointing year for them. I thought they could be a lot stronger contender in the Sun Belt Conference, but looks like they will trend towards the bottom. Last game, Appalachian State 41, UL Monroe 40. ULM led 14-0, but Appalachian State stormed back and won it on a 54-yard field goal at the gun by Michael Hughes. What a week of football. We'll see what this week has in store, and I will try to come back tomorrow on another edition of the Pigskin Ken Football Podcast.